1. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
We're on now with Charles Flink. Charles wrote this great book about the Greenway Imperative. It talks about how to connect your... I'm trying to get it on there. How to connect your community with green space. It's extraordinarily important, especially in a place where, here in the city of Miami, we got like the lowest ratio of parks per people in the entire country. I ran for city commission. This is a horrible problem here in Miami. We're trying to address it with the underline, which will just scratch the surface. Charles, welcome to the show. Please tell me a little bit about greenways and how we can make America better with these.
Jim, thanks so much. It's so good to be with you today, and I appreciate the all the rock and roll today. That's awesome. Big fan myself. So I got into this book. I've been in private practice for 35 years, worked in 250 communities, 36 states, and in 7 foreign countries doing greenways. And like Grace, this was a departure for me. I wrote 2 technical books in the 1990s, you know, the how-to, the soup to nuts kind of books. And I realized what was missing in the marketplace was talking about the human story, the backstory, you know, how people, you know, champion these projects in their local communities. What were the challenges that they overcame? And I feature communities that people are familiar with, Las Vegas, Nevada. Who would imagine there would be parks and open space and greenways in Las Vegas? You know, Grand Canyon National Park, a little bit more familiar. The opportunity to work with the Walton Family Foundation in Bentonville, Arkansas. And then places that maybe people aren't familiar with, Grand Forks, North Dakota. Who's ever been there, right? Fort Mill, South Carolina, and of course, Miami, which was a lot of fun for me to work with in the 1990s in the Miami River Greenway. So that's a little bit of backstory about the book and why I published it. And a shout out to University Press of Florida as my publisher for this. Really enjoyed working with them.
High five.
Absolutely. Go Gators.
Now, really what I really want to do this, Charles, is everybody knows they want green space. Everybody needs green space. Everybody tries to get green space. And then they realize not everybody wants green space.
Right.
You know, there's always a fight. And so yes. I think that the most important thing, and I think you talk about it here in the book enough, is building the right coalition.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting in Miami because it's a Spanish-speaking community. You know, English is the minority language there. And I come down, I start talking about, you know, greenways, and my Cuban-American audience asks me, Via Verde, you know, why is the way green? And it was a great lesson for me that, you know, this is really about cultural framing. And I did some research on Cuban culture, discovered the Malecón in Havana. And I said, well, look, we want to build the Malecón in Miami. And they're like, why didn't you tell us that in the first place? So it's really about having those conversations. It's about connecting with your community in positive ways, bringing everybody together. Green space and greenways have an amazing ability to do this. We can talk about economic development. We can talk about environmental preservation. We can talk about places that people want to go and get healthy and well. You know, there's a lot of different ways of building that coalition. And that's what we try to do in all these communities.
I think that the most important thing and the most timely thing is building relationships within the communities. The Greenway can go from neighborhood to neighborhood and help those neighborhoods interact and grow together, which creates a much better fabric of a community, which will help a community grow and mature. Thoughts?
Absolutely, Jim. And that was one of the challenges for the Miami River. It's such a gritty and dynamic river. It's only 5 miles long, but we realized right away we did not have a homogeneous landscape, right? We had a landscape that was 3-in-1. We had a marine dependent industry that really needs the river for their operations. We had people that wanted to recreate on the river. We had people that lived on the river, really dynamic and lots of different things. So we had to adjust our philosophy about building an urban greenway, an urban riverfront greenway, to the conditions that we encountered, while at the same time, you know, building that coalition. And as you said, you know, what greenways tend to do is to knit the fabric of a community together. It pulls from that cultural reference, it pulls from the environmental and the urban reference, and really is that tie. And that, you know, the underline is going to do that. The underline is going to go a long distance in Miami, and it's going to connect all these different neighborhoods. And really, the starting point for that project is going to be on the Miami River. So it's an important connection there as well.
Yes, it's going to connect, God willing, to both the greenways. And the thing that they're missing in Brickell Avenue, where it's going to be starting and pivoting, is a place for young people to go and recreate. And so I think this is going to be a great opportunity for parents to get their kids on a bike and help them ride to the different neighborhoods and learn about Coconut Grove and the diversity of Coconut Grove and in Coral Gables, which is a completely different area. And then, God willing, when it all goes all the way down, you'll hopefully be able to ride to the Everglades.
That's right. And that's the power of greenways. They're linear landscapes. They traverse long distances. They go through all different kinds of neighborhoods, from, you know, urban industrial to high-end residential to minority neighborhoods that need these landscapes. They need to be connected for the purposes of transportation, for health and wellness. So they're really unique landscapes in that regard, and that's what the book tries to paint. It tries to talk about the depth and the breadth of greenways, where they can be applied in different types of landscapes. And I'm hoping if, you know, if your readers aren't familiar with the concept of greenways, that the book helps them to understand, you know, all the different ways in which these are applied. And that was one of the purposes of describing such a big range of projects, from conservation to transportation.
I'd really like to see one here in Miami that goes from our really urbanized areas of Wynwood, and where a person in Wynwood would be able to get safely on their bike all the way to the Everglades. You know, to me, that's maybe 10 or 20 years away. It, you know, another thing is it may have to go on state, county, and federal roads. Now, that's a good question.
Right.
You talk about a greenway, but in an urban area, a greenway may have to also have a little asphalt in it and maybe go. How do you get the governmental agencies to talk? It's impossible to get local, state, and federal government together to do, I'm going to say it, anything.
Right. Well, I'll give a shout out to my buddy Mark Heineke, who's there in Miami-Dade County. He's laid out the Miami-Dade Greenway system. They're doing great work there. And yes, a lot of challenges in urban environments. And that's, you know, the book does point that out, how we took a single project in the Razorback Greenway in Arkansas, and we navigated the urban environment. We had to use the road system. Right. And so we wound up shutting down a couple of lanes of traffic due to the traffic volumes of automobiles, and converted those lanes into safe bike and walking lanes that are used today by school kids to go to school. So there are these techniques for how you cross urban communities and successfully integrate these landscapes in place. And Miami-Dade has an incredible master plan. And yes, it's going to take a lot of years to do that. And I did work on the River of Grass Greenway, which went from Naples to Miami. Maybe one day that'll happen as well. But the Miami-Dade Greenway system will connect eventually down into the Everglades.
I'd love to get you on and just do, you know, a longer segment with him and talk about the urban alternatives. Not that I'm running for city commission again.
But understood.
I do think that it's an important discussion to have in the city, and we don't do politics on the show. This wouldn't be a political thing. This is a quality of life thing. Quality of life is an incredible driver for business, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons why the Walton Family Foundation brought you. What did you do for them?
Right. And Jim, it is not political. And I've worked with both sides of the aisle for all my career. It's not an R or D thing. It's not a red or blue thing. Both sides support this huge. They just passed the Great American Outdoors Act. It's the greatest piece of legislation passed in America in 30 years. So it shows that this is a meeting ground. You know, it's not a divisive ground. And the Walton Family Foundation, you know, the Walton family, they were traveling different parts of the world to recreate, to go mountain bike. And they thought, why don't we just do this in our own hometown? You know, we've got all the resources. And so we were brought in to help put this catalytic project on the ground, the Razorback Greenway, 36 miles, connecting six cities together, lots of different types of landscape, really challenging project, 122 private landowners that we had to deal with. And, you know, different types of jurisdictions that we had to cross and deal with all those elected officials. But, you know, it came together. It was a great team. I really give them lots of props for having the vision to do that. And it's changed the culture of their community, which is important to understand for people in Miami. You know, investing in that project transformed Northwest Arkansas from being not bicycle friendly, not walkable, to one today, you know, in 10 short years, is bike friendly and walkable. So those are the kinds of things that can happen with these projects.
Now, you know, down here in South Florida, biking to work is a little bit difficult 9 months out of the year. But I got to believe that you can also switch the facilities in the buildings to be able to accommodate that if you have a community that asks for it. Have you seen something like that in, say, Portland or Seattle?
Absolutely. You see this in communities now happening more and more, where we understand to embrace the culture of bicycling. We have to realize that showers, you know, changing areas have to be provided at destination places. A lot of those destinations are going to be places of work, places where we work. So, you know, how hard is that to do? Not really all that hard. Also, bike parking. you know, safe, secure bike parking. And, you know, accommodating flexible work schedules that allow people to bike into work. So it's really about the culture of our communities. And Jim, we've been an automobile-oriented nation for many, many, many years. So to flip that, it's you know, it's not easy. But we've invested in it now for about 30 years. We have a growing national network of greenway systems. We have growing metropolitan systems that are happening all across the country. So for folks you know, listening, it's happening. It's a slow process, but we're making a lot of progress. But it's really about changing the culture of your community.
Charles, is there a list of this so that people can start saying, I want to go to every greenway in the country like they go to the ballparks? Because I got to really believe, that a summer vacation doing a couple of these greenways with your kids could turn out really nice.
You know, I can direct you like East Coast Greenway. If you go to greenway.org, East Coast Greenway has a list now. They're trying to put these 100-mile segments together so that you and your family could go on three-day holidays and bike, you know, certain sections. I led one of those groups from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, Maryland, and led another from Wilmington, Delaware to Manhattan, all on bike. So, you know, it's becoming more possible, and the East Coast Greenway is about a third complete, so it's about 1,000 miles. Their goal is to have 3,000 miles from Maine to Florida so that you'd be able to bike the entire eastern United States. These are becoming realities more and more. So a couple of organizations that people can check out, Rails to Trails Conservancy, the East Coast Greenway, and American Trails. Those are three places that people can go to get this kind of information if they're interested in you know, conducting those kind of trips.
You should do a TV show, Great Green Trails in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, people have read the book and said, wow, this would be great if you do this as a documentary. So maybe that's next in the future, is we can do some documentary like that.
Well, I know who's going to help, Greg and Mendoza. So listen, Charles, let's get connected off the air. This was tremendous. I am really looking forward to this. We're very excited about the Greenway. Many of my friends are involved. I've been involved. I've had them profiled on the show when they started their raising of the money. And so I want to thank you for all the people that you're never going to meet and all the lives that you've improved, Charles. You should get a high five for that.
Thank you, Jim. It's been great being on your show today. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. If you want to stick around and listen to Fitzy talk about the rock and roll, you're more than welcome to join us. We're going to have our next segment with Michael Ray Fitzgerald on. We're going to talk about, I'm going to say it, the soundtrack of my life. I cannot wait. This Jew boy from Miami is one Southern rocker. We'll be back after this with Michael Ray Fitzgerald talking about the soundtrack of the 70s and 80s. Reagan, take it away.